Today, as well as to follow it with the English Standard Version. You kind of notice a little difference in this that we want to highlight. Psalm 134, Psalm of Ascent. Praise the Lord, all you servants of the Lord, who minister by night in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and praise the Lord. May the Lord bless you from Zion, he who is the maker of heaven and earth. And again, from another translation, ESV, says, come bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord, who stand by night in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands to the holy place and bless the Lord. May the Lord bless you from Zion, he who made heaven and earth. This is the word of the Lord. So our guiding question for today, for you to be asking of yourselves, is simply this. Do you know? And do you believe that you are one who has been and is still being blessed by God? I'm not asking you if you feel it. I'm not asking you if this morning that you come into this place saying, if someone had asked me how I'm doing, I would say, I am in the state of blessedness. I'm asking, do you know and do you believe that you are blessed? It's an important distinction that we will discuss as we go along. But the question is an appropriate one with which to end the series, because in the Psalms of Ascent, we have started with the word of repentance that is what brings the disciple on the road of faith. Friends, it always starts with that. The pilgrim on the way to God is a pilgrim who has to start from the knees, a place of repentance as they begin the journey of faith. But here at the end of it all, it has us thinking about and reflecting on the nature of blessed, blessing, and the action of blessing. Now, along the way, we have looked at a number of themes that have kind of made up the discipleship journey, helping us reflect on various things. Providence, the importance of worship, the importance of service, an understanding of God's help along the way, security in God's promises, joy, which is much deeper than happiness, a joy deep within, the importance of work in the life of a believer, happiness, the call to persevere, hope for the journey ahead, the necessity of humility in our lives, the call to obedience, and the necessity and the beauty of the community that all gives itself to this. A number of important summations of the Psalms of Ascent, and it's great that it's this way for these 14 Psalms that encapsulate a lot of these things, which show us that the Christian faith, the walk with God, is not reducible to kind of three steps to a joyful life. It actually is much more complex and beautiful, and it's holding together a lot of different things, from our joy to our obedience, from our necessity for work as well as our stopping it for worship, our time of paying attention to the community and also interpersonally within our own selves, looking at our own actions in the life of perseverance. It's really a deep and a abiding thing for us to hold all of these things together as we walk along. But this last psalm of ascent is that we think about the degree to which we are blessed by God and therefore are called to bless Him in return. Now, biblically, there are two words for blessing. Particularly, we see this mostly in the Old Testament. But there's this sense of blessing that comes from Hebrew word ashrei. And it's a sense of well-being. I think it's the way in which we normally use the term when we use the word blessed. It's a well-being that comes when you're living in tune with creation. You're living in tune with redemption. It's almost always used of us. We see it in the very first psalm. When it says this, "Blessed is the one who does not walk in the step with the wicked or stand in the way that sinners, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord and meditates on it day and night." There's this kind of internal, it's deeper than just saying I'm at peace, but I'm blessed because I'm at one with what God is doing in the world, or at least I'm connected to it, even in my fallenness. It's a description of my state, okay? Blessed is the one who is living like this. But in this psalm, it's a different word, and it's an important one. The word's berakah, and it describes what God does to us. It's not our state. It's not our present stop, so to speak. It's what God does to us and what He does in us and among us. He enters into covenant with us. He pours out His own life for us. He shares the goodness of His Spirit, the vitality of His creation, the joys of His redemption. He empties Himself among us, and we get what He is. That's blessing. We have been blessed with what God is doing in and among us. It's very interesting in the translations, the two that I read. One said what? Praise the Lord, all you servants of the Lord. The other one says bless. And bless is the right way to translate that one. And I get what's going on in Psalm 134 and in the NIV. And you see it in a number of places as well, is that there's this discomfort with having us bless. You know, God is the one who blesses. Can we bless in return? And so they want to encapsulate it more in terms of a praise thing. But it just doesn't work that way in language because God doesn't praise us. He blesses us. Praise is an act of worship that we give back to Him. Words should be blessed, but we also should understand it in more of a response role rather than an active first mover kind of role for us. We are to bless God, but we bless God in return based on what He's first blessed us with. That is, who He is. And we, however fallen, are called to bless back. To what Paul talks about in 2 Corinthians 4, that we in these jars of clay, these earthen and frail vessels, are meant to give back to the Lord all that we have, however broken, in an act of worship and an act of praise, an act of handing over our lives. We're meant to bless God in return. And we do so with an understanding that we have been blessed by a God who enters into our lives. And again, we ask the question, do you believe that you are blessed? Do you believe that you are being blessed? Well, the people of God will have arrived in Jerusalem in order to begin their festival. And there they are supposed to bless God with their lives and to be reminded again about what God has blessed them with. And therefore, this call for us to give our blessing back to God is one that comes, I think, helpfully stated by Mr. Peterson with an invitation and a command. I want to read this to you. The persons who first sang this song had been traveling literally on the roads that lead to Jerusalem. Now they had arrived, and they were at the temple to worship God in festival celebration. Some would have been on the road for days, some for weeks, some instances perhaps for months. Now they were at the end of the road. What would happen? What would they feel? What would they do? Would there be deadness inside? It's a great question. He goes on, read one way, this sentence is an invitation. Come bless God, lift up your hands and bless God. It's an invitation. For the great promise of being in Jerusalem is that all may join in the rich temple worship. And you're welcome now to do it when you arrive. Join in. Don't be shy. Don't hold back. Did you have a fight with your spouse on the way, on the journey? It's all right. You're here now. Bless God. Did you quarrel with your neighbor while you're making the trip? Forget it. You're here now. Bless God. Did you lose touch with your children while coming and aren't sure just where they are now? Put that aside for the moment. They have their own pilgrimage to make. You are here. Bless God. Are you ashamed of the feelings you had while traveling? The grumbling that you indulged in to having to do this? The resentment that you harbored? Well, if it wasn't bad enough to keep you from arriving, now that you're here, bless God. Are you embarrassed at the number of times you quit and had to have someone pick you up and carry you along? It doesn't matter. You're here. Bless God. But the sentence is also being an invitation, is also a command. Having arrived at the place of worship, will we now sit around and tell stories about the trip? Having arrived at the big city, will we spend our time as tourists, visiting the bazaars, window shopping and trading? Have we gotten Jerusalem checked off our list on things to do? Will we immediately begin looking for another challenge, another holy place to visit? That's not why you made the trip. Bless God. You are here because God blessed you. Now bless God. An invitation and a command. I really like how he says that. And it really is this thing. It's because it's an invitation to come. Come bless the Lord with who we are and what we've been receiving from his hand all along the way. But it's also us talking into you. Come bless the Lord. We need the invitation, but we also need the command to do it. To kind of enter into it. With all of our heart. And so we ask the question, though, if this psalm is an invitation and a command to bless God, and then to be reminded about the blessings we receive from Him, what if you don't feel like it? Or worse yet, what if, despite how you feel, there's questions and doubts within. Struggles in your life that say, how can I even with any degree of integrity bless God, stand in a worship space with the people of God when I don't know whether or not the emptiness inside will be exposed for what it is. Or the disappointments in myself for the things that I've done wrong. Wrong turns, wrong words, wrong actions. Just not feeling it. Well, this is why the command is an important piece of the puzzle. Because the psalm is a prod, it's saying, bless the Lord, lift the hands up. All you servants of the Lord who stand by night, come bless the Lord. The command is a necessary act of discipleship for us because we don't naturally do things that are themselves acts of discipleship. And we're We're not wired this way in anything that we do in our lives. If our goal is to kind of get in shape, right? And the necessary requirement to do that is whether we make sure that we feel like getting in shape. Is it going to happen? It will not happen. Yeah, for me, when the alarm goes off in the morning, I know I need to do some exercise this morning, but I don't feel like it. Mark Lauer is a Christian comedian, and he named his bed the Word. The Word. You know how Christians use it? He said, some people ask him, so how'd you spend your morning? I was in the Word. I was having a devotional moment, sleeping. Friends, if we wanted to get in shape, you do it when you don't feel like it, in order that when you do it, the feeling that comes after you've done it begins to make sense. If I want to restore a friendship or relationship or kind of make amends for a rift between someone else, and if I only do it when I felt like it, or if someone else took the initiative back, then maybe I'll enter into that. What are the odds for that rift ever to heal? Parents and kids, friends, colleagues. We don't make the effort when we feel like it. We make the effort because we don't like feeling the way we do now. We want something to change. For anything in our lives to turn around, if we were to act on it based on how we felt, we would not ever engage in the action itself. And if we are to bless God, if we are to kind of walk into the holy space and to say to God, I am yours, you have given me so much, we cannot do it on feelings. We're being called to do it because we understand what we've been given by Him and through Him. We have been blessed by God. Which is why I like the quote from the front of the bulletin from Max Lucado. God's blessings are dispensed according to the riches of His grace, not according to the depth of our faith. And here's where we make a biblical break from a popular notion of prosperity theology, which is to say that blessings from God are directly related to the way in which you feel and directly related to the immensity of the faith that you have. And therefore, if you're not feeling like you have been blessed, there really must be something wrong with your faith. And there really must be something that God is angry about. You'll find that biblically that God blesses people all the time when they least deserve it. When they didn't have it coming. And whenever you see a believer in Scripture thinking that what they've received is something they've earned or deserved, you see someone beginning to take the first steps away from really understanding what grace and love is. Now, are there consequences for stupid things that we do? Yeah, that's just pretty normal. If you're going to go 100 miles an hour and you get pulled over and you get a ticket, well, I mean, it's not bad karma. It's just that you made a bad choice. Of course, there's cause and effect in life. But the blessings of God are always described as something we don't deserve. And more importantly, they need to be understood as something that is true and real despite how we feel. So I was saying I spent this past week in Pasadena at Fuller Theological Seminary. It was a gathering for students in the program that I'm in from the University of Aberdeen in Scotland. And we had three professors fly over to give some talks. My own supervisor, Tom Greggs, Grant McCaskill, who's a New Testament scholar, and John Swinton, who's a practical theologian. And we just had some wonderful discussions, and it's theologian and a biblical scholar and a person dealing with practical theology, which is kind of the struggles of life and the way in which Scripture deals with that, all working together, deeply committed Christians, describing the nature of discipleship and formation in our lives. Now, I was particularly struck by John Swinton. He is just a very kind man, and I keep getting tripped up because he's, I want to say African-American, but he's from Scotland, so I can't say that. But, you know, he's this guy who looks like he was a lineman for the 49ers. Got a shaved head. He's about 60 years old, and you're kind of waiting for this powerful voice, and he opens his mouth up. He's got a Scottish accent, and I am just completely befuddled by it. Just a sweet, sweet man. And he wrote a book recently called Dementia, Living in the Memories of God. And the book's description is a practical theology of dementia for caregivers, people with dementia, ministers, hospital chaplains, practitioners, and believers, which he explores two primary questions. Who am I when I've forgotten who I am? And what does it mean to love God and be loved by God when I've forgotten who God is? You'll see where I'm going soon when we talk about being blessed. The book received a prize as the book of the year, chosen by the Archbishop of Canterbury from a guy who's just a deeply Christian man. This is great. And John Swinton, in response to being the recipient of the prize, says this, very humbly, "My hope is that this book helps us to recognize that in the kingdom of God, everything looks different. Even in something as apparently hopeless as dementia, you can find possibilities because God is a God who never forgets us, who says, I will always be with you, I will always be for you in all things and at all times. Here's the kicker. It's not what we remember about ourselves that matters. It's what God remembers about us. And that's not just for people with dementia. That's for all of us. And I hope the book will help us to open up our understanding of what it means to be a human being, of what it means to have a vocation, of what it means to have trust in God in all things at all times. In other words, what he hopes is that it will open up what it means for us to understand as people being blessed by God who are called to bless in return, to bless God with our lives, and to bless to be a blessing from the Old Testament, blessing others along the way. And what is he getting at here? He's getting at the fact that when we reduce blessed to simply an apparently beautiful and perfect existence, we really miss what God is doing in and through us. And if we're honest enough with regard to maybe physical struggles that people experience with maybe dementia, you could have a perfectly healthy body and be racked emotionally and psychologically. You can seemingly, in the world's eyes, have it all together and be very lonely. And yet we often use the word blessed to simply be describing this kind of sense of, I have it all together, and I've had all these things given to me, and I am able now to kind of live the blessed life. What John Swinton is talking about here, living in the memories of God, is that even a person who doesn't know who they are is someone who has been blessed by God. And someone to whom the church is called, not simply to do caregiving, but to disciple them still. And to bring them along and say, come bless the Lord in the house of the Lord. And it's a reminder to us, in the midst of our own life, of a real understanding of what God is doing in and through us, that we, with all of our own frailties and struggles along the way, are being called to follow the Lord in the life of discipleship and to come and to bless Him with an understanding that we have been blessed. We are being blessed. And when you come in here this morning and you've felt a dryness within, or it's been a long week and you're exhausted based upon all of the kind of things that you are devoted to and helping others with and not feeling any return, that you are engaging in a life where it doesn't seem there's much reciprocal realities being given back. When you come in feeling lonely or struggling, the psalm says, very simply, it's not what we remember about ourselves that matters, it's what God remembers about us. It's what God has blessed us with. That is the most reciprocal relationship that we will ever experience. And we will be called to bless others with our lives and not get very much in return at times. Even in the case of someone forgetting who we were. But we are blessed. We are given this invitation to bless God with our lives. A command, actually, as well, to bless God with our lives. Knowing that the Lord does continually bless us. Blesses us as the one who made heaven and earth. And therefore we know and we tell ourselves, yes, we are blessed because we have a God who is with us, who is among us, who has entered into covenant with us, who pours out His life for us daily, who gives us the goodness of His Spirit and the vitality of His creation and the joys of His redemption, a God who emptied and continually empties Himself among us. We get what He is, and that is a blessing. Friends, come bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord, who stand by night, even the watching hours of darkness, in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the holy place and bless the Lord. Come bless the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, help us.